This is the discussion portion of the February 2021 meeting of the concept study group. My name is Erin, not Karen. Says Karen here. Let's see. We will hear a lead share from Cheryl F. on concept two, followed by about 40 minutes of open discussion on concept two. We are now recording this meeting and will be sharing the audio of this meeting on acawso.org. The recording may also be referred to for the development of literature on the 12 concepts. If you choose to participate in today's discussion, please keep your shares general enough so that you are not personally identifiable. I am now going to turn the meeting over to Cheryl F. When we were thinking of, you know, who we would ask to share on the concepts, it immediately came to me to ask Cheryl, having worked with her in delegate training subcommittee and just being so grateful and inspired by the work that she has done to carry that training on and to give to the delegates. She's just, you know, done such wonderful work there. And so I knew she was going to be the right person here. So Cheryl, before you start, can you please tell us a little bit about who you are and your experience with ACA service? And would you like me to time you, or do you want to time yourself, Cheryl?
I would love if you could time me. Erin, thank you so much. And give me a 1 minute wrap up.
1 minute, will do.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Hello, my name is Cheryl, and I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. I am grateful to have the opportunity to speak here today about my experience, strength, and hope around concept two. Before I begin, I will share I'm in my eighth year of ACA since I walked into my first meeting. And I've been in service since probably 2 months into my program and haven't stopped since. I do see it as a part of my steps. It's definitely necessary. It's not an option for me not to do service in some capacity or another. I have been an active member at my meeting groups and intergroup and the last few years with the WSO committees. What can I say? I would not have the life I have today without this program. And all the fellow travelers I have come to know and come to pass would not be without them that I am here today speaking about concept two. Thank you very much for asking and thinking about me, Erin. Concept two for me is, yes, it definitely resonates well. I'm just going to reiterate concept two again for everyone before I get into it. Concept two, authority for the active maintenance of our world services, is hereby delegated to the actual voice, the effective conscience for our whole fellowship. I have to say that this is a very powerful concept that has afforded me the opportunity to witness change in our fellowship in a democratic and respectful way. I have not seen anything like this process that we have in ACA in my life, coming from a alcoholic upbringing and a lot of chaos and drama, and then being in the corporate world, so concept two for me is about teamwork. It's about generosity of spirit. It's about having a charitable nature, humility, having my heart in the right place. I'm going to share my experience. When I was in my fourth year of program, we had the ABC and World Convention here in Toronto, and I did step up to do service there. But the most memorable part of that entire experience actually was sitting at the ABC. And it was my first ABC. And I sat there and I was mind blown. I was mind blown at the process that in the 2 days of sitting there, that, you know, about 75 people had come to a decision. Everyone had been heard. Minority voice was heard. And we were all still standing at the end of it. Nobody was hurt, killed, disrespected. And the outcome was what it was, with, I just had a sense of awe. I almost feel like I had a spiritual awakening at the end of that meeting. And that meeting at that ABC didn't end on time. We had to make shift into another room for another couple hours of discussion to settle some business. So to see the delegation come together in a committed way, respectful. Yes, we were tired, but everybody there had the welfare of our fellowship in the forefront of their minds. And we kept on attending to the business. The AWC had to begin. And so we're sitting in this room trying to finalize some very important business of our fellowship. And it was achieved. It was achieved again. So I was really inspired and emotionally overwhelmed, because it was such an experience to see that. I definitely did not have a voice in my family. So to see all of us adult children of alcoholic or dysfunctional homes come together and have a place where we could be heard and see the differences, you know, the humility that was there. You know, there may have been egos there. Both are needed. We need balance depending on where we are in our recovery. It's good for all of us to be there and see how we can be functional, respectful, and democratic. It does work. We learn to work in team, in a team with others. And even if you aren't able to, you can still do work and learn through this concept just by sitting in an ABC, even if you're not a delegate. That was truly something, because we had people who were not a delegate at the Toronto meeting, and as well as Sweden. So that inspired me to continue to be a part of this fellowship, that meeting, and then go to Sweden and continue my delegate service. I was a delegate that year and then in Sweden. And then I found myself in the in the delegate training subcommittee at the end of 2019. And I was like, okay, I can't do this, but Erin, if you help me enough, I'll do my best. And Miles had asked me as well to really consider serving in the committee. So concept two, our effective conscience, you know, the actual voice is that effective conscience, which is
that's 2 minutes, us, girl. Two more.
Thank you. It's us as delegates, non-delegates as well, using our voice to be heard, understanding that it's important that our voice is heard, not being attached to the outcome, and showing up and just sharing our voice, caring representing our groups. Our groups are what speaks. WSO does manage the affairs, but truly it's each and every one of us members that has the responsibility. And concept two is really where it states that. We learn to listen, we learn to be heard, and we learn to trust the process, which I believe is the spiritual principle of this concept, is trust. Humbleness, humility, and getting out of yourself, I will have to say, is what I believe concept two has taught me. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay. We will now open the floor for open discussion, about 40 minutes. Sharing will be limited to one share per person until everyone has had the chance to share. Please avoid crosstalk during this part of the meeting. Members of the concept study group will be available for fellowship and Q&A after the end of the meeting. Okay, so we'll start with the next 40 minutes open shares. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Marissa, adult child in Florida. And thank you, Cheryl, for your share. And I really like these concepts. I'm really grateful for them. I will be in my other fellowship, I will be taking over as chair of intergroup. And I have a lot of fear about it. And but these learning more about these concepts help me feel grounded. And trust that I'm going to be able to do this work. I don't have to do it alone. And I really like this concept too. I like this idea of teamwork and not thinking that it's all up to me to like run the show, you know. I'm going through this like recalibration in my recovery and learning that it's not all up to me. Learning that I can be a part of a group and that together we can make a decision. And I really like this idea that through doing service, like getting to learn how to be a better listener and learning that what I say matters, that people want to hear what I say. Typically, you know, I'll have thoughts in my head and I just kind of don't share them. And I'm learning in program that people want to hear what I have to say and that there's value to what I have to say. And that in program, I get to learn that I get to be a part of like that functional, respectful and democratic process, that I'm not going to be shut down. I'm not going to be disrespected. And it's interesting in hearing Cheryl share how at work I was working with somebody trying to work with him as a team, and he was just so disrespectful to me, and I shut down. And I had a lot of feelings about talking to management about about this character at work, you know, who is I'm told by my manager is getting ready to be let go because of the way he treats people. You know, he's in IT, he's better than everyone, and you have no right to ask for what you need from him. And I don't want to be that way in the workplace, you know. And I'll wrap up by sharing that, like, tradition and the concepts, the thing you learn in program, taking them out into the real world is just, you know, makes me excited about life again, knowing that I can be functional, you know, using the things that I'm learning and program is just means the world to me. So thanks. Thanks for letting me share, guys.
Thanks, Marissa.
Thanks, Marissa. I'm Laura. Can I go? Thank you, Cheryl, for your share, and Aaron and everyone for this meeting. So concept two, I like the idea of teamwork and hearing that. So I try to ask myself questions to help myself learn the concept a little bit. And so what's sticking out to me is delegated to the actual voice. So this forms a partnership, giving responsibility of hearing what the groups want for our fellowship. How do I hear that voice? I hear it through group reps. I hear it through helping encourage them to come into service by service sponsorship. When I service sponsor a lady, trying to help guide her, or if like when I'm rotating out of a service position, helping to find someone to come into that position and hoping that I can be a guide if she wants help with that or he wants help with that when I rotate out. How do I hear that voice? Through group reps or whatever the service commitment is, establishing guidelines for that service role and then communicating it, whether it be written guidelines for that service or through the service sponsorship, rotating out of that position and saying, hey, at this time of year in October, we do a budget. It might be a good idea to start thinking about it, you know, whatever it is. And also through rotation. So how can we hear that voice? We can hear that voice through polling the room is one thing one of my service sponsors used to work with me, or she would talk about, and that sounded attractive. Trying to remember if I'm chairing a committee or something, am I polling the room? Am I looking? Looking for the minority opinion, looking for the different voices. What is the conscience of our fellowship? How do we get it? Do we get it by group conscience surveys? Do by taking surveys? Do we survey our group, our meeting group? Do we take surveys at certain periods of time? Or I guess survey, I'm using the word survey, but do we do like an inventory of how our group is doing or how our group, inner group is doing, how our world service or service committee is doing? And how our region is doing, or how our annual business conference is doing, or if it's a regional assembly, whatever it's going to be called, does that body take a conscience at some point in time? So that's what was coming up for me today on that. I know there's also delegation that's important to concept too. And, you know, as I relate that to my person, if I grew up in a home where there's dysfunction, you know, it's going to be scary to delegate and to build that interpersonal relationship where, okay, I'm going to give this responsibility over to someone else, right? So have we communicated as a committee what that responsibility is? Or is our group naming a delegate or a world service rep to the WSO? You know, what do we want from that person? Could you report to us once a month, you know, and helping that person be informed, you know? And to report back and forth to both WSO, what my group needs or my inner group needs to WSO, and then taking from WSO, communicating back. So when I finish also as a delegate, when I finish at the ABC, you know, what was my group's interest in? You know, are they in outreach? You know, on a report on outreach back to my group or my inner group, you know? So anyways, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Laura. Well, I can go next. I'm Mary Jo, and I'm an adult child. I thank you for your lead, Cheryl. I appreciate hearing your story and everything. There's so many thoughts that are going through my mind about this concept in general. But does effective conscience, does that mean informed conscience? Does it mean, part of it is, you know, we are, the day-to-day operations are handled by, the board. We have committee chairs who are presumably elected by their committees and then ratified by the board. So there's just a lot of things going through my head. When I think of service work in general, which we could not operate without people being involved in service work at ACAWSO level. And why do we get into service? I would like to think that I got into service because I wanted to be of service and that I wanted to share whatever gifts I was being given through the program and through my sponsor and my fellow travelers and so on. And I think for the most part, I'm comfortable with that, that is the case. I know that I have also maybe sometimes been a little controlling. And I think that we are adult children. I'm an adult child and I'm not perfect. And so things can come out. My characteristics, sometimes am I people pleasing by saying yes when I really don't want to say yes? Or is it just that, you know, sometimes it really is that I want to see this program succeed. And so, I mean, it's just in the, you know, since the Red Book, Big Red Book was published, we've gone from 400 meetings to over 3,000. That's amazing. I am grateful for what I have learned about myself in service. And I'm grateful for what we can all learn. We're delegated to the actual voice, the effective conscience of our whole fellowship. And that is done through representation, because each and every member of those 3,000 meetings cannot participate or on an individual level, or it would be chaos. So part of it is about trusting those who it is delegated to, and if they become untrustworthy, holding them accountable. So I have a million thoughts, but I'll stop there. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Mary Jo. I'm an adult child. My name's Rich. I always think it's interesting. Oops, let me set my timer here. I always think it's interesting how the concepts and, well, lots of stuff in recovery, it all dovetails. And, you know, what I find interesting, someone else on this call may not find interesting, but when we all bring our voice to the conversation, you know, the whole picture gets clear. You know, I get a better understanding of stuff when I hear people's varied expressions and ideas on it. And, you know, for me, concept one and concept two are, you know, so interconnected, where, you know, that first concept, you know, and our concepts came from AA, where Bill W., Dr. Bob had already died. Bill W. was seeing that, wow, I can't keep being the ultimate authority for AA. And, you know, in 1955, they turned it over to the whole fellowship. So we obviously use sometimes a few changed words, but we use the AA concepts. And so in concept one, a couple people who were in authority turned it over to the entire group process. And now in concept two, you know, the authority, and I always like to kind of paraphrase these so I can understand it better, authority for the maintenance of our world services is the actual voice of our fellowship, right? So, you know, the fellowship does have the authority for the maintenance of world services. And, you know, the then piecing things out, you know, that effective consciousness that someone else was just sharing on, that is really important to me in lots of ways too, where you know, it really is the people who are willing to show up, put in the time and do the work are the effective conscious, you know. And I've had this experience in lots of my group conscience at my home meetings, where we've got a big vote coming up on something and people will come up, oh, I can't make it to the group, but I want to vote this way. And they expect you to, you know, place two or three or 10 varied votes at the group conscience, right? And that's just not the way our program works. You know, if I have an opinion, if I have a the energy to put into doing this work, you know, I am part of that effective conscious and the actual voice. And giving, what is that called, where you give votes to somebody to carry into a meeting? There's a term for that, but that just doesn't work in ACA, right? We can't give votes to my pal to have him vote for me. Anyway, I'm out of time. Thank you, guys. Pass.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. This is Erin. I'll share a little bit about kind of stuff that has been rolling around in my head recently, that how I see it pertains to concept two, and not even only concept two, but just these early concepts and the right of participation, the right of petition, and you know, and all about the collective conscience of the fellowship. And what kind of thinking about what's rolling around in my head, and the other things that I'm hearing today, you know, is, you know, teamwork is about trust. It's about, you know, encouraging people into service, encouraging people to be involved, you know, because our voices are what determine the directions of the fellowship. And when it comes to being an ACA, I know for myself, there would be things that I would not speak to, you know, whether it was, you know, feeling I was going to be judged or stigma or, you know, whatever, or, and then so maybe not speaking to something, but then realizing that, wait, there's a lot of other people who aren't speaking to something. And so what goes on in my head is that, you know, sometimes you're in a meeting and, you know, there's certain voices that are really out there in front and being heard. And then there's more minority sort of voices, and then, you know, less favor of something. And then there's a large portion of the members who aren't saying anything at all. And, you know, what sits in my head then is, well, if those people that aren't speaking felt comfortable enough or safe enough or whatever to speak, the majority might be completely different than what we're seeing as the majority. And for myself, like, especially now with meeting and service safety subcommittees that are going on, you know, it's about, you know, how do we support each other, empower each other to speak up at times when, you know, we're isolating with our thoughts, or, you know, we're being afraid of fear or criticism or any of those laundry list traits. Because, you know, it I've been in situations where, you know, what has come out, you know, what the authority ends up acting on is a voice that's the only voice being heard, when actually it's the voices that are not being heard that could be the majority, and those voices end up leaving, you know, leaving the group or leaving whatever, because they feel like they don't fit. And so that's just really become, it's really become conscious of that. And the, you know, how do I use the principles and the spiritual principles and the traditions to make whatever meeting I'm in as safe a place, you know, as possible for everyone, so that we are really getting the collective conscience of the whole group, committee, or delegation, whatever. So that's what I got. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Erin.
Thank you.
Thanks, Erin.
Hi, this is Julianne, a recovering adult child. This is one of the concepts that I really struggle with how it's worded here in ACA. The part where it says delegated to the actual voice, the effective conscience for the whole fellowship. I come from an Al-Anon background, and in Al-Anon, concept 2 talks about delegating to the conference and its service arms, as opposed to delegating to the whole fellowship or to the actual voice of the whole fellowship. One of the differences that I've seen between Al-Anon and ACA is a lack of trust in trusted servants. I've tripped across that in committee work time and time again. And it's, I could be looking at this wrong. I will freely admit that. It's almost like I see an inherent power struggle going on between members, between committees, between, I haven't done that much work at intergroup level, so I don't know about that. But it's like nobody trusts anybody, right? It's like my committee is going to do what my committee is going to do, and I'm not trusting that you as a committee know what you're doing, so I'm not going to collaborate with you. Maybe it's just the committees I've been on. I don't know. But I wonder if it's because we're still talking about individuals and their, I'm thinking this as I'm talking about it, so it's not a well-formulated thought, but it's almost like I'm going to fight for me in program, right? Not just in recovery, but in program, I'm going to fight for me and what I want, rather than being a part of a service structure that looks at the good of the organization. And I see that as a fundamental difference. And I don't know if it's because, and I've talked with people on the board of trustees, and I know the history and the struggles, and I know that the last few years have brought a lot of changes. Still, I, as someone who has not done, I've not even done a year's worth of service at the world service level yet. So what I see is kind of still an outsider coming into that level of service is kind of this every man for himself, or every person for her, their selves, whatever, view on approaching what needs to be done in ACA. And I see the wording in this concept as if not creating that, something that you could contribute to that. So yeah, I would really love to see us as an organization do what we could to teach people how to trust the trusted servant and to actually have trusted servants who have the right of decision, because that's a part of, in my opinion anyway, a healthy 12-step organization. So thanks for listening to my ramblings. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Julianne.
Thanks, Julianne.
Hi, Erin. Am I able to share?
Sure.
Hi, my name is Cheryl. I ironically had a situation this week in a meeting, and it's funny I had to do this talk. I didn't even connect it at the time. That was, I feel, divine intervention giving me a real bright light to look at. And the situation was, someone made an autocratic decision to change something about the meeting. And a member had noticed it, and we were ready to close up. The meeting was finished, the study group. And one of the members noticed, and I had talked to the member who wanted the autocratic change. And they said, this is an autocratic change, and are you willing to be accountable for it? So the member did speak to it. And I said, let's have a business meeting right now. There were 7 members present, and we're going to go through group conscience and minority voice. It was something to be seen. I just ejected my ego out of it, is what I had to do. It's the getting out of myself that I had to do, and have my heart in the right place, which is for this group to be healthy, every voice here needs to be heard. And the outcome of the decision, the outcome I'm not attached to, so it's the process. That is what I took from that ABC that I, first ABC I attended, and the subsequent ABCs I've attended, is the process is the important part. The humble servant, the humility that's exercised. I had my voice to offer as well, but my voice and another voice may not be the same, and it's okay whatever the group decides, because that was the effective conscience, The actual voice was all of them coming together, taking a vote. Minority voice was heard, a final vote was taken, and things worked out. And it was just a lovely process. Those members were new members. They'd never seen anything like it. And they were just, you know, just like, wow, I can't believe we just did that. And the truth was, the person needed to speak. So it's about using the voice when, you know, as ACAs, it's hard, but having that courage and strength to just use the voice, be heard, listen to everybody else, and trust the process. That was my lesson that day. It's been my lesson in program. It's a huge trusting the process. Rely on the fellowship. I am not in this fellowship alone. And once I think I am, then I need to check myself. And when I lose that focus, that this fellowship is a teamwork with people, and we're all equal in this, and that needs to be the forefront. We all have a voice, and I need to trust the process. And once I'm working with, once I am working from a place of compassion and with good heart, then it's okay that the process will work. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay, so is there anybody else who would like to share? We have about another 10 minutes or so. Okay. Sounds like we are all feeling pretty complete for those who wanted to share. So we're going to end this discussion portion of our meeting. Thank you everyone for a lively and fruitful discussion. I will now end the recording.